Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Today on The Grave Talks, Growing Up Haunted. A conversation with Tori Smith Westoff. Tori Smith Westoff has waded in the waters of the paranormal from the age of 5. Growing up in a haunted house where she was the only one experiencing the paranormal, the events she endured defied explanation. Yet she was unable to share these moments with her parents because of that disbelief. These experiences eventually led her to open the Paranormal Help Desk, helping to match professional investigators to people experiencing hauntings. Today, we hear her story on The Grave Talks.
My interest in the paranormal started when I was a child. I actually grew up in a haunted house. it's quite interesting, actually. I remember when we moved in to this house, I remember looking at this house with my parents whenever they were getting ready to buy it. I was probably around 5 or so, mm-hmm. right in there. I remember walking into this house and it looked like people just like up and left. There were cobwebs everywhere. There was stuff all in it. I mean, it was probably something, if you could imagine it off of like a horror movie, that would probably be it if I had to guess. But yeah, my whole paranormal journey started when I was just a kid. I remember seeing shadows in my house. I remember distinctly one of the more scary experiences that I had, and I think this was probably more scary because in my 5-year-old brain it was really scary. As an adult now, looking mm-hmm. back on it, I don't think it would bother me as much as it did back then. But I remember hearing things like things would call my name and nobody would be there, or like my parents wouldn't have, you know, called my name or whatever. But I remember hiding under my bed because I was so scared. I was hiding under my bed, and where my bed was, in front of my doorway, there was a light, and you could see the light from the laundry room, like through another room. And I saw the shadow of a person pacing back and forth across my open door, but there was nobody there. But you could see this shadow that was cast on the floor with nobody there. Like, yeah. I remember in my brain trying to figure it out and figure out what, like how that could possibly happen. And, you know, I got nothing. I don't know how that happened, but that is one of the first experiences that I remember happening as a child, was that particular instance.
Let's go back to the idea here that you're looking at the, your parents are looking at this house. You're five. It has stuff in it, like furniture and stuff, I'm assuming. Is that like,
like it lived in,
like you almost were visiting somebody's house. From your recollection, or just, you know, talking to your parents and such, how long ago did somebody pick up and leave out of this house, or why was it like that? Did you ever ask them?
I never really asked them that. That was simply like a memory. I will say, like, as far as the paranormal goes in that house, I was the only one experiencing any of it. My father, he's not a big believer in the paranormal. Now, that does not mean he's not supportive of all the things I do, because he is. But he is not a paranormal guy. He doesn't believe in ghosts. It's not something that he really ever entertained. And I remember mentioning it when I was younger about, like, some of the odd things that were happening. And, you know, I got that it's just your imagination, things like that. So, like, I kind of tiptoed around, you know, things. And I simply didn't ask that question because I knew that they knew I would be asking because of the experiences that I was having. And I wasn't sure that I would ever get a straight answer. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, it's kind of just like a road you go down, and it's not going to lead anywhere if they're not believing in it. And if you are, it doesn't matter.
Right.
No, I get it. I have a dad that's the exact same way. So it's like, no matter what I talk about. But then sometimes in my case, and I'm curious about yours too, he'll share like an experience or something that really, it's ghostly. You can't explain it, but still, it's just like, well, I can't explain it, but it was something. Do you think deep down that your dad, you know, kind of does believe in this stuff, but he doesn't want to talk about it or recognize it because that makes it too real? That's what I feel with a lot of folks who say they don't believe in it, because it's just, it's like a bridge too far. Once you cross it, you don't want to go back.
Right. And I think there's something to that. I'm not sure. Like, I've heard him mention specifically around an event when my grandmother passed away in the hospital. Like, it was kind of like a crazy event. I mean, kind of out of the ordinary, I guess you would say. My grandmother, she was in the hospital. She had had a stroke and she was on comfort care. And that particular night she had passed away. And as we were walking out of her hospital room, me and my father, the lights in the entire hospital went out. It was just like pitch black for about 5 seconds, and they all kicked back on. And then I remember my dad saying, he goes, "That was my mom." And that was the only instance that I can think of that he even acknowledged anything paranormal might have happened or existed. That was the only thing that he's ever said in my entire life. So sometimes I wonder if maybe it's scary, because it is scary, I guess, for people that aren't really accustomed to it. I mean, let's be honest, I get scared still. Like, sure. If I go to like a haunted location or something like that and something happens, I mean, it startles you, you know? So I can't imagine what that would be like for someone experiencing like their first paranormal experience, or even acknowledging that there's such thing. And I think that's kind of like the side that my dad falls on.
Yeah.
He grew up very religious as well. Right. And I think religion plays a role in that.
Yeah.
Because I think he was taught that stuff wasn't real, and that's just kind of the path that he went, which, I mean, you know, it's fine. I think he walks that line of like religion and fear. So I think that's where we're at with him.
Sure. No, I can understand that. I think I have a very similar
father who are similar in type of beliefs on this, that my father is the same way. So tell me more about the house. As you go in there when you're five, how long do you end up living there?
I lived there from the age of 5 up until 17.
Okay, so most of your childhood.
17 is when I moved out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have the experiences when you're really little. You're trying to figure out how are these shadows doing this sort of thing. And at 5, mm-hmm. you're still kind of figuring a lot of things out. Like maybe this is just something that happens that I'm just unaware of yet. Tell me, as time progressed in this house, what was it like? What were some of the other experiences that really stand out to you about those years in that house?
Oh, I got so many stories.
Well, let's start so early years, and then we'll work towards the later years, but start with some of the other earlier ones.
Some of the earlier ones, it really started out pretty benign. Like I said, that I had that one experience where I was hiding under my bed because I was scared, because I was hearing things. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would equate that to like your house settling, the pops and the creaks and the, you know, the thumps and the bumps. And that happened, that was a big part of it when I was younger. Mm-hmm. You would hear the creaks and the settling. Well, I say that with air quotes, settling. but it would happen all night long. It wasn't just like, you know, oh, it's getting cold outside and the house is popping and then it stops. It never happened like that. It was always, always happening. As I got older, I don't know if maybe as I got older, I started to notice more things, or if they had always been there and I just noticed them more because I was more aware. I'm not really sure, but I started to notice like smells a lot. Smell was, one of the bigger things that happened before like the scariest thing happened. Mm-hmm. The scariest paranormal experience that's ever happened in my entire life in that house.
Let's lead up to that. Tell me about some of the smells. What were you experiencing with like, what were you smelling?
I always hate to say it because I know like the term demonic is used, like way overused, yeah. But I know that when I say this, that's what people are going to think, but I don't think, I mean, I don't know if it was that, I guess I should say, because I don't know. I'll get to that story.
Okay.
It kind of all intertwines, but like nothing bad happened to me. Like nothing ever touched me. Nothing ever scratched me. I was never hurt in any way. I was just basically scared is what it is. But the smell that I would smell most often is like a rotten egg sulfur smell. Mm-hmm. And it was always in my bedroom. I know what people equate that to.
Sure.
But I said, nothing bad ever happened to me. But that was one of the smells that was most prominent throughout my time that I lived there, was like this rotten egg sulfury smell. I don't know how else to describe it other than that. It was a foul smell, I will say that. And you definitely knew when it was around. I will say though, with the smells, there was nothing like when you would smell the smell, there was nothing that immediately happened that would be like, oh God, that you would equate the smell with a paranormal event directly after that. It was all kind of like sporadic. And it was always when you least expected it, like when you're minding your own business and you're just doing your own thing. During the time that I was smelling the smell more prominently, that, you know, there was a period of time where it happened more often than it did in later years. Mm-hmm. But I remember I was sitting in my room, and where my room was there, we had a carport on the outside, like outside of my bedroom. And I heard my mom's car pull up because I was at home by myself. I was probably, I don't know, young teen. I heard my mom's car pull up. I heard the door open and shut. I heard the footsteps going into the front door. I heard the front door open and shut. And then I heard my mom say my name. She hollered my name. And I hollered what? Waiting to see what she wanted. And I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything. And I looked out my bedroom window and nobody was home. I was still the only one in my house. Yeah.
So what age are you when this is happening?
I was early teens. I would say maybe 12, 13 years old.
Sure. Okay.
Right around in there.
So what is going through your mind at that moment?
I wasn't really sure what was happening. At first, you start to think you're going crazy.
Sure.
You know that this happened, but then you're like, am I really going crazy? Like, did my brain just make this up? And like, maybe this really didn't happen. Maybe I'm legit going insane. That's honestly what I thought. And I will say that, like, when you have those experiences and you feel like you're crazy, and then like you're met with people not believing you, like, then you tend to shut down and you stop talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember those are the years that I started feeling safer outside in the dark by myself than I did in my own home, because the events started picking up and they started happening more frequently. We had a hallway that led from our living room, or I guess our TV room, that went down to our bedroom, and it was a long hallway, and there was a bathroom on it that had like a bathtub and a sink in it. And then on the other side of the, like, directly across from that, there was a toilet, but that bathroom we never used, and I'm not really sure why, we just never did. But when you would walk down that hallway, you would feel like something was just going to reach out and touch you. You could feel it. I've heard growling in that house before, from like that area. So I'm not sure if that, maybe that was like a preconceived notion of like, I heard something sketchy in this area before and now I'm scared to walk down the hallway, or if there was legit something there that made you feel like you were going to get touched. The feeling when you would walk down the hallway was like pressure. That's the best way I can describe it. Like, if you're sitting at a desk and somebody walks up behind you, you don't have to turn and look to know someone's there. It's just like this pressure that you get, like this looming feeling that you get. That's what it felt like, if I had to try to describe the feeling every time you walk down the hallway. But I was the only person that was experiencing that. Like, my siblings, they never mentioned it. They never talked about anything crazy happening to them growing up.
And it's just you. Did you talk to your siblings? Did you share these stories with your siblings at all?
I did. I would ask them questions. I'd be like, hey, do you ever feel weird?
Yeah.
Like, do you ever notice any like weird things? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. They never, to my knowledge, unless they didn't talk about it either. I can say they know what I do now, and they've never said anything.
Mm-hmm.
They've never said anything about it. So
do you feel that you are more sensitive, maybe empathic or something, that you were the only one picking up on it because you are the only one that had that ability? Or do you feel that maybe it was more just focused on you and only these things wanted you to have these experiences?
You know, I'm not really sure. Do I feel that I'm sensitive in a way? Yes, I do. Cause every single house that I've ever lived in has had something happen in it. And I don't feel like that's normal. Like, I don't feel like that happens to everyone. But yeah, I would say that like I am sensitive to it, I guess.
Sure.
My children, I have two daughters, and they've talked about things growing up. So I know it's not just me.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, it kind of plays into that whole, like, am I going crazy? Am I imagining this stuff? Am I Like, am I getting in my own head? Like, is this explainable? And then when my children started talking about it, and I'm talking about when they were young, 2, 3, 4 years old. I think that's kind of like when it really kicked it into high gear for me, when I'm like, okay, like, this isn't just me. Like, yeah. This isn't just a coincidence. This isn't just me.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Sure. Sure. It's funny how sometimes it takes us having children to relate to on things like this where no one else ever could. And
it, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I understand that. I feel the same way with my daughter. So tell me more about the events in the house. You said one of the scariest experiences of your life occurred within the walls of the property.
Yes, it did. That event happened when I was probably 13, 14 years old, 15, right around in there. I know that I wasn't old enough to drive yet, so it was under 16 years old. So I do know that, because if I could have left, I would have.
Sure.
How our house sits, the main bathroom that we use was off of the kitchen. And to get to the kitchen, I would have to come out of my bedroom, go down the hallway, go through a living room and into a dining room. And when you walk into the dining room, to your left, there was this, we called it a great room. It was kind of like a big recreational room there. And you would basically walk into the dining room and turn to your right to get to the bathroom. And I woke up one morning and I was the only one home. And I took my usual trek to go to the bathroom. And when I got to the dining room, I looked to my left. Like I just looked to my left. I don't even know what made me look to my left, but I felt like I needed to. So I did. And there was a shadow figure standing there. And when I say shadow figure, there was no mistaking it at all. Like at all. It was huge. I would guess, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of what it would be like as an adult. I would say 6-7 foot tall, maybe. It looked like somebody took a cookie cutter in the shape of a person and just stamped it out of the landscape. You could not see through it. It was pitch black. And it was standing there in what I call an aggressive posture. You know how, like, when you see it in males, when men are getting ready to fight and they puff up like their arms, like in an aggressive stance, that is what it was standing there like. It was just standing there, and it did not move. Like it did not move. It was just completely still. Like I said, if you could just stamp it out of the landscape, that would be it. And what was odd was, like, I saw it, and then I kept walking to the bathroom, and then my brain was like, what the hell was that? Mm-hmm. Like, it just registered, I guess. I don't know. Like, I wasn't conscious yet. Mm-hmm. Then I walked back out of the bathroom and I looked, and it was gone. Like, it never even happened.
Yeah.
That is the first and only time that I have ever seen that in that house. I've never seen anything like it since. Not like that.
Did it feel, I mean, the way the posture and its stance sounds almost kind of a threatening or it seems to exude a threatening behavior or something like that. Did you feel threatened at that moment?
I did. I've got goosebumps thinking about it. I did. Like, once it registered to me, like when I don't even know why it was not an immediate reaction. Like, I can't explain that part of it. Like, I turned, I looked, I saw it, I continued walking. And then when I got to the bathroom, I was like, what the hell was that? Mm-hmm. Like, it took a second for it to catch up to me.
Yeah.
And when I looked, like, because when I opened the door, because the bathroom door swung out, I, like, peeked from around the door because I was afraid to look. But when I peeked around the door, it was gone. I immediately did not want to be there, And that's one of the points where I sat outside and I waited for someone else to come home because I refused to be in there by myself.
Yeah, I mean, and rightfully so. Did when someone came home, I mean, how did that explanation go of, hey, here's why I'm sitting outside?
I just played it off like I just wanted to be out there. I never mentioned that to anyone.
Yeah.
I kept that because, like, in a way, I guess in my brain, I didn't feel like it was going to be well received. And I felt like if I were to say something about it, that I would not. It would be like, oh, it was probably like a shadow from the coat rack, or it was just your imagination. Like, it would be minimized, which I get. Like, I totally get it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to believe in things like that when you don't see them for yourself.
Sure.
Like, I totally respect that viewpoint. But also, in the back of my brain, the way that I was thinking was, that was it acknowledging me. It was letting me know that it knows that I'm there, and it wanted me to know it was there. And I was afraid to say anything about it because I didn't know if that was an aggressive, I was afraid to talk about it, I guess, because I was afraid that it was going to hear me and that it would escalate.
So by recognizing it out loud, verbalizing it, that puts some fear into you. Not even so much that, I mean, there's certainly the aspect of, well, my family's not going to believe me anyhow. But even if they did, recognizing it that way, it almost seems like it could turn up the volume. I understand that.
Right. And like, it was so weird because I was thinking of these things. I was like, oh gosh, like if I start talking about it, what if it gets angry? Like, what if I'm, because at this point I'm the only one experiencing anything in the house. Like, nobody else is having any kind of experiences. So I kind of felt targeted in a way.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, like if I start like tattletelling on it or whatever, or if like, what if I say something to my parents and they actually do take me seriously this time, and we start trying to figure out how we're going to fix it and make it mad? Or because it was aggressive, like it was aggressive looking. Did it touch me? No, it did not. And it never did. Like, I never had any, like I said before, I never had any point in my time at that house where anything ever physically hurt me
yeah.
ever. But it sure made me feel like it was going to.
Sure. I mean, just the knowledge that there's something seemingly malevolent there and you don't know when it's going to show up, that in itself would be very, I think, anxiety provoking in itself.
And one thing that I also look at was, you know, my 12-year-old self. Like, if I were to see that same thing today, would I feel the same? Like, did it look 7 foot tall because I was 12 years old and I was a kid and I was small? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like, I try to look at it from like an adult perspective now to maybe see if I could get a more accurate estimate of how big it actually was.
Yeah.
But honestly, in my brain, I feel like it had to have been 6 to 7 foot tall. It was huge. Like, it was huge. And it was looming. And like, when I looked at it, like its feet were like shoulder width apart. Like, you could see like defined legs. It didn't have a face. There was no eyes, no mouth, no nose, no hair, no hat. It was very equivalent to like if somebody were to put on like one of those black body suits that you see for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
They come in like green and blue and whatever. If somebody were to put on a black one, that would be it, 100%.
Did you ever, especially as you kind of got into your teen years, did you ever wonder to yourself, like, am I really experiencing all these things, as actual ghosts? Or did you ever question your own sanity of like, should I get myself looked at for like mental health evaluations? Like, am I hallucinating? Or did you just know that, no, you are in fact experiencing all these sort of things?
I absolutely did question my sanity more than a few times throughout my stay there. Because it wasn't just like the events, like things would call my name and nobody would be there. I would be the only one home. Mm-hmm. That also factored into like, am I a schizophrenic?
Yeah.
Do I have like a mental illness of some sort?
And that's a fair question to ask in any sort of case like that, just to, narrow everything down.
Yeah. And you get inside your own head. 100% you get inside your own head. But when these things would call my name, they would sound like my mom. It would sound like my mom. It wasn't just like, I get goosebumps. I got goosebumps everywhere. Reliving this a little bit.
Sure.
But it sounded like my mom. And I remember, I'm like, am I, like, I don't know what is happening. And then, like, as you're going through, like, your teenage years and you start to like look into different things, now that you're able to find information and and kind of talk about things. And this was in 1980s. This was like 1980s, early 1990s.
Yeah.
There was no such thing as the internet or paranormal investigation groups. And there was none of that back then. I live in the Bible Belt.
Oh, yeah. Our internet back in those days was Encyclopedia Britannica. And good luck finding a whole lot of information on that, on these topics there, other than a little blurb.
I remember when the internet was invented.
Yep.
I remember the Oregon Trail.
I
remember having like the dial-up internet where like it would take you forever. I remember when the internet became a thing.
Yeah, me too.
So this dates before that.
Sure.
There was none of that.
Not a lot of resources for community out there really either. Just to be like, you're not alone. This is happening to other people. That's scary to feel that sort of alone when it is something that's so real that is happening to you.
Yeah.
Did you ever in that point in time try to figure out a way to find some peace or to make these things stop?
I didn't. I just lived with it.
Yeah.
I was basically biding my time. I knew that eventually I would be able to move out. And I knew that. And that was kind of like my light at the end of the tunnel type thing. Mm-hmm. Was just like, oh, it's one more year that passed. And it's one more year that passed. When I got my driver's license, I was never home. Yeah. Like, I was never home. I was only there like when I had to be, I knew that there was going to come a time in my life where I would not be forced to be around it because I was more independent. Like in the summer times, like I would be outside and playing with my friends, and I would try to spend as much time away from there as I could. But obviously, as a child, you get grounded and you have certain chores and things where you're forced to be at home, at those times, that's when obviously most of this stuff happened. I had a friend growing up. He lived down the street from me, and I finally opened up one day about the things that were happening in my home. We had a conversation about it, and I'm like, I don't know what this is. I don't know if I should be scared of it, because I am, and I don't know. So then it turned into one summer growing up. This was pre-seeing the shadow figure, might I add.
Sure.
We decided that we were just going to, basically, we were paranormal investigating our house, or my house, and this is before we knew that that's what we were doing.
Sure.
We were just like, I wonder what would happen if we did this. And we did like these amateur type you know, scouting around the house, trying to see if like we could elicit a response in some way.
Yeah.
It never happened. Never got a response when he was present, ever. Not one time.
Do you think that's because he was present? Did you ever try doing any of this when he wasn't there?
I didn't really have the guts to do it when he wasn't there.
Sure.
but I will say that, you know, like the events that would happen, like the smells and the name calling, not name calling, like it call it just hollering for me, I guess, sure. in my mom's voice. Those happened more frequently, I guess. Like I only heard growling maybe like once or twice. That wasn't a very common occurrence. And I remember when I heard it, I was like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Like, it was just like instant fear. I saw shadows a lot, nothing like, Mr. Shadow Man that, I saw that one day, the only time that I ever saw. And honestly, I feel the need to say this too. Like, I don't know if it was all the same thing or if it was a bunch of different things. Actually just talking, I just saw a shadow.
Oh,
that was weird.
Well, somebody's
that
being,
was weird.
Yeah, you're talking about somebody and maybe they're like, hey, we missed you.
Yeah, it was just a little blip out of the corner of my eye. I was like, well, this is cute. but I don't know if it was all like different ghost or if it was all the same thing. I have no idea. Still don't know.
One of my questions about this is going to be, you know, after all of these years, you know, if you had to guess, what do you believe was haunting that home?
I go between an intelligent type haunting and a residual. And the only reason why I wonder about a residual, or maybe there's both, like the only reason why I wonder about the residual is because of the incident where I heard my mom's car pull up mm-hmm. and I heard her get out and walk in and holler my name. Mm-hmm. That only happened one time though. So I don't know. It just seems like such a benign, nonchalant incident that it's like, how could that not be residual? Mm-hmm. Like something so mundane or everyday or just it like routine, like it just feels like maybe that might have been residual. But like I said, it only happened one time, not one time that happened.
When you turned 17 and you got out of there, did the uh-huh. activity stop at your new residence?
My parents sold the house.
Okay.
They moved as well. I did not have any activity at the home that I moved into. Actually, I guess when I said I had activity at every home, I guess it wasn't every home. That first home that I moved to and my second home that I moved to, after living in that house, I can't think of anything that's happened in those two homes. The next three, they did.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Tori. In part two, what happened when Tori found someone to relate to that believed her stories of the haunted house? After all these years, what does Tori believe haunted her childhood home? Did paranormal activity follow Tori after she moved out? What tragic events took place in Tori's old home years after she moved out? And what happened when Tori's own children started having paranormal experiences? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.